Hey guys, it's Mason. How's it going? Feels good to be back at it again. Here we are, doing some stuff and some new things this time. I just want to let y'all know there is a video portion of this podcast that we'll be putting on our YouTube where we put our other thing. I'll put a link in the description. Please go check that out so you can see exactly how awful we are without all of my editing. And we do webcams. You can actually see more of the visuals of what we're sort of talking about in parts of this, or, you know, parts of it that I actually left exclusively in there because it made more sense for the visual aspect of it. But hey, regardless. Also, in doing so, I accidentally somehow recorded with a webcam mic. It doesn't sound much different. I just wanted to let you guys know. Oof. I'm sorry. Whoopsie. Well, anyway, let's just do it. Let's just get in there. It's not that bad, I promise. Okay, hello. How's it going? So, what are we talking about?
I'm one can deep of Pear Secco, Aubrey.
And I am the unediting king, Mason. So hi guys.
Welcome back.
Hey. How's it going again?
This is what are we talking about? Where we talk about stuff and things and all the stuff and things in between that.
You know, sparingly. As of recently.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, hey, we're finally back again. Hello. How's it going? Once again, continuing to apologize for being so weird with the schedule after just changing it, but life is happening, and we're doing our best to put things out as frequently as we can, but obviously, like, stuff gets in the way. We don't want to bring, like, even if we may
content
have, like,
your way.
Well, it's we just want to bring the best, and we also are busy as shit and hating it right now, but hey, we're here anyway, and also we're trying something new this time. This will not be extremely relevant to the audience, listeners, but we have also decided to record with our webcams this time since we're online again, and we figured, hey, this would probably be a better way for us to, like, connect and, like, have a better conversation so we can see each other like we would if we were recording together. But since we're doing that, and I want to maximize the efficiency of our content creating gains, I am recording a most likely unedited video version of this as well that will be put up on our YouTube. And the reason it's unedited is because I don't know how to do the visual form of editing yet. So, for now, this is the best we've got. Hi.
Hey.
So, now that we have that out of the way, it was probably the most, like, actual intro we've ever had before in our entire podcasting career, probably. What are we talking about, Aubrey?
I mean, I've got some things I want to talk about, especially now that, like, since we're recording one of these as a video, if you watch that version, you can kind of, like, visually follow along with some of the things I talk about, which I really like. I mean, I will still be posting photos to the Instagram this week for what I talk about and for what Mason talks about, depending.
Hopefully on time this time, but you know what? That goes for both of us.
Hopefully. You guys are going to hate me, but I want to talk about some contestants on the season of RuPaul's Drag Race right now.
Okay. We are
specifically, I want to talk about Utica Queen and Simone. They're both very different queens, but they are both, like, my top picks for this season, and I love them a lot, and I want to, like, talk about why I love them and why I think they would make great ambassadors of the RuPaul's Drag Race brand.
All right, make your case.
I'll go ahead and start out with Utica Queen, because she is she's an easier topic to tackle. With Simone, I have a whole lot of things that I want to talk about, but this is a little more straightforward. We'll just go on up to her Instagram. and take a couple looks at these things. Utica, the thing that impresses me the most about Utica Queen is she makes everything herself, designs everything herself, and I really love that because I think it Utica Queen is the real name of the performer is Ethan Munt, and he is from Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, specifically also Utica, Minnesota, which is why his name is Utica Queen. Utica does so much that I really enjoy fashion-wise, but I'm just really impressed that a lot of this is made by himself or herself. Like, it's incredible that someone could make all of this, like, let alone also be a performer in it. You know what I mean? Because one thing to make a garment, it's another thing to wear a garment.
I mean, like, the performing arts is different from, per se, designing, but... I mean, you know, at the same time, Aubrey, like, I feel like a lot of people that get into, like, the design aspect of it usually also have somewhat of an interest in the performing as well. At least, you know, like, I feel like the creative brains exist lie in similar locations.
I would say so. Another unique thing about Utica is Seventh-day Adventist, which is a form of Christianity, and... there has not been a single competitor to come to RuPaul's Drag Race and that be something they openly say on television, which I thought was really interesting. Mm. I won't lie, in the beginning I thought that might work against her, but she's described herself as a very bring-your-own-God type of Christian, and I think that's really great because it doesn't, like, keep any of her sisters feeling like, oh, she wants to convert me, you know... It's more open-minded. It's like, yes, wait. I believe in Christ, but you can believe whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what you should believe.
Wait, Utica's wild. Christian?
Yes. Seventh-day Adventist, to be specific.
Yeah, you say that, but it's still, I don't...
Yeah, it's weird crazy. Because normally we don't consider drag queens of, like, to be people of faith or whatever. Something to keep more private.
She wears, like, incredibly, like, usually it's very, like, horrific, gothic, like, it's very,
avant-garde, I would say, sometimes. Well, it isn't over-the-top, like, gore or, like, horror. But I can think of one look in particular, but...
she's always got, like, a horror tinge going on with it, though. Like, almost every single one. That's crazy to me. That's, okay. I've learned something already.
I will say it's definitely worth looking up if you're at all curious about Utica Queen and her personality. Highly recommend looking up this video that is mentioned here. Utica's reaction to the RuPaul question, "Have you ever smoked weed before?" left RuPaul laughing for 30 seconds. One of his longest laugh reactions on the show. And, like, Utica doesn't even say anything in response. She just makes faces. She's like, and RuPaul is losing it. And it is honestly... fascinating to see.
You think RuPaul just, like, pops off the set and fucking just, like, cranks out a spliffy real fast? Just, like, you know, while everyone's off the stage. You know, like, whenever they're waiting for the contestants to come in, her and Shell Visage just, like, walk off to the side and be like, yo, we'll be right back. Hey, be back. Like, one sec. We'll be right back. I, like, just really need to think about this. And they just, like, just go to Pound Town on a e-ciggy.
Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. There are queens from past seasons who have talked about knowing each other were cigarette smokers was great because then they could, like, both go out and have a cigarette break and also bitch about everybody while turning off their mics. And I was like, yeah, I feel that, which is ironic because in the Dragula, which is similar to Drag Race, but a lot more edgy and dark, like grunge, gothic kind of interesting stuff. They actually film them if they go out for cigarette breaks. Like, they get what they say while they're out there. And I thought that was interesting because I'm like, damn, you can't even get off camera to smoke.
Nope. Shit. Not in this house. It's all out there.
So I knew I loved Utica Queen and that, like, I'll say hands down, Utica Queen was my definite favorite from the beginning, like with the reveal looks when they introduce all the queens. And it was because these looks were just fantastic. This one, which is a half and half Mad Hatter checker. It's got three different types of gingham print on it, and the headpiece is made of three different hats. This was the other Meet the Queens look that she wore, which, like, it's terrifying, but I love it. it says, this is going to crawl out of your grandmother's closet in your nightmares. But it's so cute at the same time.
What's the point of the sewing needles to have, like, those rounded bits at the end?
It's the knitting needles, so it doesn't slide off the end. So your knitting doesn't just, like...
Oh!
It's got somewhere to stop. They do make knitting needles without anything on the end. They're just not as popular, I guess.
I've never performed the act of knittage. I must admit.
I've tried knitting. So. It's harder than you would think. I'm great at sewing, but knitting is hard for me.
So there was actually one point in time when we were playing D&D back in like junior high, one of our group members' girlfriends did knit at the session every now and then. And I guess I was just more focused on the roles than I was on that, because I never really thought about it before, huh?
I mean, I will say, like, it's something that I enjoy doing while I'm watching TV or something else. I have a knitting loom that I like. That way I can, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to keep everything on a needle. I can do it, like, around a loom, and I'm working on a blanket. I've been working on that blanket for over a year, though, so we'll see.
You know,
it's only got, like, 20 rows.
Slow burn project, you know? Take a year to make a blanket. Real slow burn. Take a year to make it. Use it for 10 years. It's exponential. The slower exactly. you make it. It's an aged blanket. Can you
I will say, blanket? Is this not the most adorable look you've ever seen? I feel like you could rock this look. But also, on the other hand, I could rock this look. This it's is very, just a confessional outfit.
It's a very, cute, hipstery. What's the word? Oh, God, what's the... Oh, I always fuck up this word. Where it's very...
Androgynous?
There you go, androgynous. I always want to say ambivalent.
Yeah, I would say this is a very androgynous look. It definitely works on masculine or feminine people, and doesn't really take a side. Utica was also recently featured in Vogue magazine back in February for a specific look she created for the runway. They had a challenge. There's often challenges where they have to create looks out of things you wouldn't normally have to create
out of. That one drove me fucking wild.
This was beautiful. Vogue featured her, and like, I will say, Gottmik, the winner of the challenge, did a really good outfit as well. But this outfit, to create this out of sleeping bags, is incredible. Like, it literally looks like something you would see walking down a Fashion Week runway. In fact, there are looks that have been put next to it that are very similar.
I just specifically love it. There was outrage
when she didn't win this one, I will say.
Yeah, me too. I'm just completely impressed that she managed to recreate the gaping dragon one for one. Like, how do you do that with a sleeping bag?
How?
You don't even know what I'm talking about, Aubrey.
I don't, but you know what? But like in her own fashion style. Oh. Oh my.
Yeah, this guy.
I would say
100% recreated.
I would say it's got a little more class and finesse than that, but yeah.
What has more finesse than 100,000 teeth, Aubrey?
This was probably the look you were thinking of that felt like.
Oh, and now that's just straight up looks like an undead queen from Bloodborne. Does Utica just do Dark Souls? Is that what she does? Yeah, see, look,
I suppose, sort of. This is a medieval look, so the famous medieval sideless dress that was too sexy to be worn.
Too sexy to be... Oh, I love that.
Yeah, too sexy, and I enjoy it.
See, yeah, there we go. That's also one for one. Check that out.
Oh, you're right. That does really look like it. Very that.
Very that, whatever it is, anyway.
And then this ties into Simone. This was last week's runway look for the makeover challenge. Two queens had to take each other and then put each other in each other's drag styles. And Simone out the gate was like, I want to put Utica in the BAPS movie look. So BAPS is Black African Princesses, very famous movie. It's definitely worth a watch. I think it's pretty fun, but it depends. It doesn't have great ratings.
I have not seen it.
Utica was very hesitant at first because she was very afraid that, like, is this cultural appropriation? And I very much understand that because, like, in our culture right now, it's tricky to know what's cultural appreciation and cultural appropriation. But RuPaul was very quick to reassure Utica that, like, this is coming from a place of love. You have no need to worry because you know that you're doing this for the right reasons. Simone knows you're doing this for the right reasons. So fuck what everybody else says is what RuPaul said to her. And that was great because both of them were so nervous to be each other. And then to see them execute it really well, like, she fully gave us Simone on the runway, which was really impressive because normally Simone she's very quirky. Is
a fucking queen. It's
now crazy. Simone, I was a big fan of Simone right out the gate as well because Simone comes from Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah, right.
And having just moved from Arkansas myself, I was shocked that somebody so amazing could come out of somewhere so shitty like Conway. Like, no offense, Conway, Arkansas, but, like, you're not a town of superstars.
Hey, I mean, I think that's where, if I'm not mistaken, that's where, like, our, like, cool University Hendrix is, right?
I think so.
I think that's the case, but I remember Conway being a somewhat important place that I'd gone to in Arkansas at some point before I left. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Simone was definitely somebody I was going to look out for, because of the being from Conway, Arkansas, but also she is a drag sister to Gigi Good, and Gigi Good was my favorite from the last season. And you can see she has the same polish, the same eye for fashion that Gigi does. And I love that. Let's go to her season 13 looks. A lot of her. So the thing that I love about Simone is a lot of Simone's outfits pay homage either to looks that other celebrities have done, or more specifically, like, Black culture. And, like, one of my favorites was the do-rag runway. Like, a do-rag is not something you think of as being fashionable or, like, elegant. Mm-hmm. And she knows that. Like, it's definitely a staple in Black fashion, for sure, and a historic piece that used to be a lot more popular, like, back in the 90s. As she came out for the trains runway in, like, a 20-foot long do-rag. It was the most magnificent do-rag I had ever seen in my life, and RuPaul was in love. She also did this look. It was supposed to be a...
No, we're gonna get demonetized in our first video, Aubrey!
This was supposed to be a bag
pun sexual.
For the runway. And the pun for this one was fun bags. And this is directly in like an over-the-top campy version of a look that Diana Ross wore where she had huge titties.
Damn.
And it was really fun. And at the very end of the runway, she popped them both. Like,
oh,
so
yeah.
They just, like, flattened out.
She did do that.
This look was a direct reference to RuPaul and an outfit, a hairstyle that RuPaul did. And
Please,
then the outfit was completely made of hair extensions.
Could you give a bit of a description for the audio only listeners right now?
This is like a double circle updo thing with some braids on the side. It's really hard to explain.
No full commitment. RuPaul, come on.
RuPaul did do this for, I believe, one of his music videos. And then she's wearing this, like, two-piece dress that is, it looks like it's made of, like, fringe fabric, but it's literally, like, hair, which
all, like,
was genius.
And it connects in a ring in the middle, too.
That's
good design.
The photo shoot she did on Instagram, which I'm going to pull pictures from these queens' Instagrams to post on ours, so that you can see, like, the photo shoot versions, since we're just showing you the runway looks. Because the photo shoot version she did of this was in, like, a hair and wig store. And so she literally, one of them, she looks like she's a mannequin head in the store. And it's really cute.
And I'm very uncanny.
And obviously this is a nod to Black culture because extensions and weave are a lot more popular. And going to the hair store is much more of a thing in Black culture than it is for white people. I mean, we just frankly, like, don't do anything fun with our hair, if I'm being honest.
Hey, let me do something, okay? I try.
Fair. This next look was for the beaded runway, and it is, I mean, Simone calls herself the Ebony Enchantress, and that is what this is. Like, it is a beautiful, very, like, African tribal look, and when she turned around, her hair said Simone in her hair beads,
like,
which
holy.
Was...
How much time did that take? Like, could you imagine?
I can't imagine. The amount of time just doing all of her wigs for this season must have been insane, because all of them are immaculate. Like, and that's not, like, I haven't even gone over the ones from the earlier part of the season that were also really wonderful.
See, with this amount of time, Simone, with their quarantine, Simone made a wig. We made a podcast. So,
the biggest thing that Simone did that, like, honestly, this last week was a great week for her, like, with the makeover challenge. But the week before that was Snatch Game. And she made a bold choice to bring Miss Harriet Tubman to the Snatch Game stage. It was hilarious without being, like, making a mockery of anything or, like, being offensive. Like, it was funny. And it was, like, Harriet Tubman all the way. Like, if she was in a room with all these white celebrity women, that this is who she would be. And I loved it. Just having grown up reading a lot about Harriet Tubman, I was floored by her, like, take on what Harriet Tubman would do at the Snatch Game. To solidify that Simone is making a statement in most of her runways, the Snatch Game week runway was by far the biggest statement she has made on the runway, and it almost moved me to tears, because I didn't expect this at all, but at the same time, like, could not be more proud that a competitor would bring this to the stage. This was a fascinating fascinators look, and she comes out in this beautiful leather, almost Pope-like garment. I recognize later that the headpiece is supposed to be a peace lily, which is very, very fond flower for funerals. We have peace lilies from, like, my grandfather's funeral. They live a long ass time. And when she turned around, I will read directly from this article here on EW.com by Joey Nolfi. For the fascinating fascinator hats for the runway, Simone strutted towards the judges with a lily on her head and a tight-fitting white gown hugging her form. At the end of the stage, Simone turned around to reveal red crystal-studded bullet holes on her back, and the words, "Say their names," emblazoned on her headpiece as she spoke the names of murdered Black Americans like Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Brayla Stone, Trayvon Martin, Tony McDade, Nina Pop, and Monica Diamond. And that is just to name a few, frankly. Below, Simone walked through with the conception and creation of this show-stopping piece. And so we get a little bit more of her insight. Simone did say directly that putting her hands up as she turned the runway was directly like when police put your hands up, you know, don't shoot. That's a direct reference to that. She also put a video up on her Instagram and her YouTube, which I think very much relays her message in a more concise way and a more heart-hitting way that I really, really will recommend you go check out. We can leave a link to that in our description. I just think that, like, this is something that deserves to be on the RuPaul's Drag Race stage, because if anyone knows the struggles of losing lives in their community, it is the LGBT community. Having gone through the AIDS crisis, and trans lives are being lost every day. So I think seeing this was something that brought me personally a lot of hope. And I like to see representatives of the LGBT community bringing forth powerful messages and using their platforms for good, which is something that, like, we also want to do. Mm. It's just hard because this is not our story, and we know that. So I'm just glad to have somebody sharing their story on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race like that, so that it can inspire thousands of other people.
And hopefully it does that. I mean, you know, that's the truest form of a...
Talk about a lot of heavy things. Maybe we got some to lighten things up a little bit?
I don't know. What are we?
I mean, I'd be glad to talk about Simone for another 30, 45 minutes, but I assume you probably want to get somewhere.
Well, maybe if we're going to do that, we should make a RuPaul's podcast first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But then we got to compete with, like, The Chop.
People who are actually on Chaser, the show. And then, people who actually, like, know these people.
Step-siblings.
And are part of the community and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, I mean, just because we're... I mean, even, like, watchers can have something to say. I mean, it's a different perspective. I wish I had more to say throughout said message, but you're much more of an avid watcher than I am, and also have a lot more to say on it, I feel.
Yeah, it's just something that, like, it's my weekly ritual. I watch it every week. It's, like, one of the very few shows I watch as it comes out week by week. And I've just noticed a lot more in the recent seasons that it is starting to get to a place where I'm, like, extremely proud that this show is on air. Because while, yeah, RuPaul, not gonna lie, RuPaul Charles, bad person, not a good celebrity, does not use his platform for good in most ways. But to see all of these other queens using his platform for good makes me so fucking happy. Sorry, YouTube, but I'm going to say fucking in that instance.
No, it's okay. It wasn't in the first minute. It's fine. It's fine. We're good. You're not listening anymore. So...
should we take a short break and be right back?
Oh, but I'm going to have to, like, figure out how to, like, splice the videos again. That was so hard last time. I mean, I could just leave it going and we could both leave the room for like 5 minutes and come back if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I guess. I gotta pee real bad.
Well, then go pee. I'll just do something, okay? I don't gotta do anything. Just go. Get the fuck out of here. Hey, ad break here. Haven't been wanting to do these as much recently without actually having like something to put here, but... I figured now would be the best time of any to make this personal ad. I had to cut this part out anyway because the visual element for it is necessary for it to make any sense. So I figured for the ad break, I might as well just go ahead and plug that link again. Just be sure to go check out the visual aspect of this episode because it's got a lot more going on with it. We're just trying some new stuff, and there's some interesting things that we're trying out there. And you know, you could actively send us feedback there too. Yeah, but that's it. We'll just get right back to it. Each wrinkle is a volume of speakable knowledge that this woman knows and has gained throughout her life. Sorry, I was just sharing with the listeners about how wrinkles on your face actually equivocate to a volume and or just like a book's worth of like speakable knowledge that you have on a certain topic. Oh, you have a phone call. Okay. I can keep going. So, I mean, obviously, each of these ones right here, each fold is a different set of years of his culinary experience, like I've said. That's why you see them gesticulate the most whenever he's yelling at people. It's because of the fact that, like, that's where he's pulling, crunching down, and biting up the knowledge, as they say. Like, you're squeezing the knowledge out of those wrinkles to really get them into his brain so he can, you know, yell at him. Just get all that info out. Because, I mean, you know, that's how long-term memory works, right? And then these ones over here, his right eye, all of these are the different books worth of insults that he's read over the years so he can come up with new things to say. You know, I mean, where the fuck? I mean, you don't just come up with insults like that. You gotta find it from somewhere. I mean, come on, Gordon. Don't act like you didn't look up some sort of, like, dictionary of insults at some point. You got a show. Like, everybody does research for their show. That seems like a Gordon Ramsay research. Anyway... this cheek right here, it's actually his most recent blemish that he has acquired through knowledge. That part's for fucking. I mean, that's the fucking part. Like everyone does that. I mean, that's how you engage. It's how you engage the bone knowledge, as they call it. Are you back yet, Aubrey?
Yes, I have. Random thought, my boyfriend's mom just texted me, "Did you say you liked to bowl?" And I'm like, "Oh, I love bowling. And I used to be good at bowling a couple years ago, but it has been so long since I went bowling, because, like, bowling in COVID? Ew."
Ew. Dude, that's like...
but I used to be good.
I keep having this conniption fit every time I roll into my... roll into my house... I stroll up, I pass by, I make the turn, and there's a freaking retro bowl right down the street from my house. This, like, bowling alley, specifically a retro bowl. And it's always full. Like, I've never seen this parking lot empty. And I mean, I've only moved here since February, so what's going on? What are these people doing? Why are there constantly people inside of the Retro Bowl?
Which is wild, because, like, when I was coming up here,
it just looks generally nasty. Why would you even want to chance it?
Well, okay, to be fair, are not all bowling alleys generally nasty? And I feel like if the bowling alley is too clean, it's not a good bowling alley.
I feel like bowling alleys smell more like sweat factories than gyms do. Why is that? It's the laziest sport. How is it the sweatiest smelling?
Because everyone's using the same shoes. Not the answer you want.
Oh, someone I need it though.
Oh, what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
What, I just have a picture of Gordon Ramsay pulled up?
Oh, are we not talking about Gordon Ramsay? I got too excited.
No, no, I was trying to, like I said, I was trying to explain wrinkles to, and what wrinkles are to people. The right. Forehead ones are his culinary knowledge muscles, and these lines are the fucking muscles. That's why they're slightly engaged right now, because it's probably the face he makes whenever he's using the bone knowledge.
For any listeners curious about what reality show I've recently been on a binge of, it's not just RuPaul's Drag Race. I've also been binging
Aubrey's
a lot
Trash
of
Watch.
Kitchen. Yeah, Aubrey's Trash Watch. Kitchen Nightmares. I have been watching since, like, I've seen clips here and then, but I started the beginning season, like, from back in 2006 or something. And now I'm on, like, the third or fourth season. I enjoy it. Maybe it's just because I work in a restaurant, have worked in a couple restaurants, so I really enjoy it. Oh, that's terrifying.
Keep going, Aubrey. This is unrelated.
I've really enjoyed it just because, like, from my perspective of a server, a lot of the times the servers aren't the ones doing anything wrong in the show. They're just doing their jobs. And it's fascinating to see how some of them have just, like, decided, I'm going to be okay with this because what else am I supposed to do? Like, I get it. But damn, if I worked at any of these restaurants, I'd be like, don't come eat where I work. And I can't imagine that because, like, I'm used to working places where I'm like, yeah, come eat where I work. It's so good and fresh.
I mean, how could you feel okay working at a place that, like, I mean, at that point, are you almost working there just out of, like, I don't want to say it, but, like, pity for the owner? Because you don't want to, like, leave them without an employee? But it's also,
well,
like,
yeah,
these people got to make ends meet, too.
Well, I will also say the first couple seasons were filmed during the recession, so it made sense that a lot of these restaurants were failing anyways, outside of the fact that their food was shit. But it makes sense to me a little bit more putting that into perspective, like why some of the waiters continue to work here if they're not making any money. Because what do you do if you can't find another job?
Yeah,
like, you might as well stick with the job that's making you very little money than having no job and no money. So I understand why some of these servers have stayed there. It just sucks to see it. I'm just going to say it. I'm uncomfortable with sequin reveal pillows.
Oh, that have faces on them?
The Nick Cage one is the one that I think of the most.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep, that's the one. It makes me really uncomfortable.
It feels like you're laying a trap for your guests whenever they come over. You just nestle that one amongst the mini couch pillows, and then over the course of the night, you just wait as they helplessly reach for pillows, as a guest do when they are sitting on your couch. And, I mean, it's a sequin pillow. People are gonna fuck with it. It happens. That's the existence of a sequin pillow is to be used as if a fidget spinner. It's used for idle hand movements. And you've laid a trap because they now have this sequin pillow in their hands, and they're gonna see what color the other side of it is. Like, the brain is too curious to not try. And look what you've done. You've ruined their night.
I can't help but notice one of those sequin reveal pillows is a gender reveal pillow. And I'm just gonna say it. It's 2021. Why are we still doing gender reveals?
Yeah, wait.
I mean, okay. Like, I feel... Sometimes I feel like a jerk saying that, but at the same time, like, it feels really, like, gender normy, and, like, I don't like that.
Oh, you mean like the baby revealing thing?
Yeah, because like I have a pregnant coworker and she was talking about having a gender reveal party and somebody mentioned, I guess Demi Lovato said she thinks gender reveal parties are transphobic. That was what one of my coworkers had said. And I was like, well, I can understand why she said that, because if your child does grow up and they want to transition, then yeah, you had a gender reveal party for literally nothing, because gender is a social construct. It's, we're not talking about, just for the record, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about gender, two different things. Your birth sex, you can't change that. Gender, social construct.
See, but what I want to take it to this level of, I've always just considered it irrelevant.
Weird?
And just something that people post because they want to have something to talk about to people online. And
see, I can see that too. Like, I feel like it's just an excuse to have a party about your pregnancy.
Which, I mean, like, it's cool and all that you're having a kid, but at the same time,
why not just
like,
have a baby shower?
Why not just, not light a forest on fire? Okay, I mean, that's not specific. It doesn't happen.
Well, there was also some guy that I think, like, got killed by a gender reveal.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Was it the father? I hope it wasn't the father. That'd be very...
Gender reveal device explosion kills a man in Liberty, New York. Yeah, it was the father. It was the father. Ooh, I want to know what the device was, though. His brother, the oldest of his brothers, called this the, quote, freakiest of freak accidents I could ever imagine.
I mean, if you were expecting to die in any part of your life, I mean, I would assume the gender reveal of your child's birth would probably be the kind of place you'd fear about death, but...
Yeah, but there was also a 26-year-old man in Michigan that died after he was hit with shrapnel from, quote, a small cannon-type device, end quote, that exploded after it was fired in celebration at a baby shower. Maybe don't fire cannons at your baby shower.
So what you're saying is the best way to catch a man off guard is at his baby shower when he is at least expecting.
Oh my gosh! No, and here's another article where a woman died. People are dying left and right at these gender reveal parties. If that doesn't tell you to stop having gender reveal parties, I don't know what will.
The universe says no, guys. The universe says no to gender reveal. We gotta put a stop to it.
In fact, here's an article from Fox8.com that says, after two recent deaths, why are people still doing extreme baby gender reveals?
What better way to tell the entire world? Because, I mean, if someone dies, I mean, everyone's going to talk about it, you know? Hey, you know what? I'm just going to take the L on this, honey. Let's give our girl the best life she possibly can and let everybody in the world know that it's a girl. I got this. Take me out.
Exactly. Like, and who knows? Yeah, she might have a vagina, but in a year, she might decide that doesn't matter. Go figure. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a perfectly normal way, and that should be okay. But maybe you're too stuck on the fact that you revealed your baby was a girl, so it's got to be a girl now. This also reminds me of a good Garfunkel Oates song called Pregnant Women Are Smug. I feel that way about pregnant women a lot.
Yeah. You want to go ahead, step up on your soapbox and antagonize all the pregnant women that listen to our show, Aubrey? Just want to go ahead and tell all of them that they suck right now. They're listening. Hey, everybody who's pregnant, turn it up. Turn it up right now, like really high.
To quote the song, it says, pregnant women are smug. Everybody knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant. Effing son of a gun. I don't remember the rest.
That was beautiful.
There is a part, though, where they're like, oh, what's the gender? Oh, we know, but we're not telling. I can't wait till somebody just says, don't care if it's brain dead, don't care if it's limbless, if it has a penis. That's quite a statement in itself.
So they're saying that they'd rather have a boy than have a functional human being as a child? That's so weird. You don't have control over any of that, either.
Oh, no, it's when people say, like, oh, do you want a boy or a girl? And people are like, oh, I don't care, as long as it's healthy. Well, I don't feel like those two things are related since they're mutually exclusive. like, your baby can be healthy and be either gender, so, like, that wasn't the question.
I mean, I feel like they're just saying that they don't really care what kind of genitalia their child has, as long as it's healthy. The child. Well, I mean, I assume also the genitalia.
Yeah,
I assume they're not thinking
like bullshit
really...
when they say that and then have a gender reveal party.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are duplicitous and hypocrites, and we all exist in a world of lies, and that is
yeah,
the
that's
state
true.
Of the world. So, anyway, would you like to... Did I have a topic this week?
I don't know. Did you?
No, not at all. No, I did not. I don't know. I didn't have a topic. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't do those here. You said it yourself. Aubrey, they can see you texting now. You can't get away with it anymore.
Listen, I had to put in an order with my boyfriend to pick me up some of them cheesy pepper jack taquitos from Quick Trip. No, Quick Trip is not sponsoring me, but by God, I wish they would.
You're
so,
making me hungry.
Putting it out in the universe. Quick Trip, sponsor us. I used to work for you. Sponsor me.
Aubrey, you may have just shortened the lifespan of our episode by mentioning that, because now I'm getting hungry. How long have we been recording for?
Barbecue chips. I got some of those. I also got some tomato basil wheat thins.
Yeah, hand it through. Hand it through. I can. The microphone's got really large holes, so.
So I think I can pull it out.
Oh, yeah. So I could bore you about the proper way to drink sake and apparently why it should never be heated, which really upsets me to a very strong degree.
Why should it never be heated? No, I'm upset too now because I'm like, I always heard that was like proper sake was hot.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me you're going to have to wait. We're delving into this. You've probably heard someone spout facts on all-you-can-eat sushi night in that real traditional way to drink sake hot. You probably struggled and went along with it, struggling through the ethanol steam wafting into your eyes, try to keep a straight face through the harsh, burning taste. Because, what do you know about sake? We're here to set the record straight. Drinking hot sake is a rookie mistake that leads to far from an enjoyable drinking experience. I disagree.
I disagree.
I disagree, because you know what? I like the ethanol taste wafting into my nose and just burning my nostrils. I mean...
I just feel like it goes down smoother when it's warm, personally.
Well, that, and also, I mean, like, it's kind of like... It smells kind of like ginger smells, where it kind of just, like, eats at your nose buds a little bit. I mean, don't you want that with sushi?
It's got
very,
a little
like,
bite.
It's very harsh, very snappy. It's got a lot of... Like, you want to, like, fight that fishiness, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so what the hell's going on here? Historical, good sake doesn't need heat to be palatable. Warming it can actually ruin the flavor. Higher quality sakes, they take the grain of rice, and polish it away. More polished the rice, the higher grade the sake is. Junmai Jinjo, I totally said that wrong, but polishes away 30 to 49% of the rice. When you polish the grain, you get to the heart of the rice, which is where you get to see the nicer aromatics and the flavor profiles. Junmai also means pure in Japanese, which means there is no additives to the brewing process, which results in a clean taste. So apparently, when it's hot, you just can't really like taste it, you know, is what it's saying so far. Heat up sake and intensifies the alcohol flavor and makes and masks the natural, beautiful taste and aromas.
I'm surprised that is what they say, is that you just can't taste it as much, and that's why they say you should never drink it hot.
The last time you had hot sake was probably at a budget sushi joint. Hey, hot or chilled, it's actually poorly matched with the rice-based dishes regardless. Historically, when rice dishes came out, the sake went away. So pairing sake with sushi isn't actually the best idea.
Really interesting that they say low-budget sushi joint, because I'm thinking specifically of...
You're going to blast them. You're going to blast them out right now.
Yeah, well, what's the name? Oh, I'm not trying to blast them. I was just going to say that like they're owned by Steven Yeun's wife's family. Steven Yeun, very famous from The Walking Dead, playing Glenn. And his wife is from Fayetteville, Arkansas. And her family, which they are Asian American. I don't know specifically if they're Japanese, but they are Asian Americans, and they own Shogun in Fayetteville,
Arkansas. Oh, you're talking about Wasabi. That place is kind of expensive. I'm thinking about the other one that changed names like 3 or 4 times.
No, I'm thinking Shogun.
Oh, well, like the nice place? That place is
Shogun's the nice place. That's what I'm thinking of. That's where we had hot sake. Or I had hot sake the first time. You had ordered it. But yeah, Shogun's the one that's owned by that lady's family.
Wild.
For sure.
I would always order it at the place that was actually the cheap sushi place.
Oh, it was Tokyo Sushi before they changed to something else now. And it was also called Miso at one point.
Yeah.
It's been called Tokyo Sushi and it's been called Miso. And now I believe it has a third name.
Even more generic than the last. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. But I did really enjoy that place. It's like right off Dixon Street in Fayetteville, Arkansas, if you're ever in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And it's pretty good, in my opinion. Went there quite a few times. And
there's
a
reason it's the one I frequented the most.
Yeah. I mean, if you want something a little more upscale, go to Wasabi or Shogun for sure. But if you're just looking to have an easy in-and-out sushi experience.
We still haven't gone to that breakfast place that we accidentally...
Gate's Kitchen!
We gotta do that.
We're gonna go.
We also, can't be super specific about where it is, so we don't, dox ourselves, though. So,
I mean, it already has a name. They can just look up where it is.
Shit. Okay, moving on.
I mean, they don't have our... It's not doxing unless it's
some people have banned sake from their drinking repertoire after a few bad nights of pairing hot sake with low-grade sushi. Rune urges people to give a drink another chance. The experience that most people have had in the U.S. is the American sake, which is very different from Japanese sake in quality, both in rice and water. In a liquor store can be intimidating because many bottles are in kanji, the Japanese alphabet, for those who weren't know. So thanks Thrillist for telling me that I'm doing it wrong.
Fuck the Thrillist. I am going to continue to drink my sake hot when I please.
Yeah, you know what? It may taste better, but fuck you. I'm poor as shit, so I'm gonna keep drinking that cheap shit, and I'm gonna keep heating it up as hot as I want. I want that shit burning my mouth both physically and more metaphorically alcohol speaking, okay? Yeah. You can't tell me how to live my life, Thrillist.
Exactly.
Is that the message going out? Don't let Thrillist tell you how to live your life?
Exactly.
Heat your sake to exactly the Fahrenheit degree. Or Celsius. Or Kelvin, if that's your thing.
Whatever metric system floats your boat.
Heat it to how you want, okay? This is like Burger King. Without the food.
Have it your way.
Can I turn it off? No, I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go.